toxic people, but it feels like it's just me and her in the room. I'd rather me die before she, so I mix drugs up, trying to find my doom, trying to find my doom. Doom, doom, trying to find my doom, trying to find my doom.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of the Wizards of Gallery Place podcast. Brennan and Damo back on the show. It is Monday the 23rd, and today we are going to have what's hoping to be a shorter episode. But we're gonna try and get the fourth pick to go to the Wizards in a trade between the Wizards and the Kings. It's been a hot topic on Wizards Twitter. So we're gonna get into that. But before that, I figure we just sort of get up to date on the playoffs just real quick. The Warriors have a commanding 3-0 lead over Dallas, which is what I kind of saw, I think, on the last episode. I think I gave the Dubs a gentleman sweep, but I mean it's probably going to be 4-0, which is what I really wanted to say to begin with. And then Miami and Boston, I think Miami's up 2-1, right? Miami's up 2-1. But what's been your thought on these conference finals so far? I think the general consensus has been it's kind of boring.
Yeah, it's just been these wild swings. It's either been a blowout or. Yeah, it seemed like all the games have been like blowouts. It hasn't been a lot of like close games down the wire, you know, game winner to take it or overtime, like competitive type games. So I think the Heat Celtics series has been fun in stretches because it's just kind of that throwback basketball, physical defense. You know, both teams shooting like 20% from three. The Warriors Mavs series, it just seemed like whoever's hitting their threes is the team that's going to win because they both going to put them up. But the Warriors seem to have that versatility where if they're not hitting threes, they can go and get you. They can go get layups and free throws. With the Mavs, they live and die by the three. So, they're probably going to get swept. The talent gap is just too much.
It was funny. I saw, I think it was Kevin O'Connor tweet out like the Mavericks need. The Mavericks need to find a center better than Dwight Powell. And I'm like, well, they had one, and they gave him to us and a second round pick for Bertans, who people are finding out now, like from a national perspective, is just ass. And then Spencer Dinwiddie is like, he had some really good games, but even with those really good games, his average for the playoffs, I think he's only averaging like 13 points a game. And his 3-point shooting is good. I think he's shooting almost 40% from three, but his 2-point percentage is just garbage for a guard.
And then he's terrible on defense. So.
Well, you know, poor Mavericks, man. I get why they did it, because you'd rather have the healthy bodies than not. And like Dinwiddie has contributed a little bit for them. I don't want to say that he hasn't contributed at all, but it's just still when you, I don't see how you try and justify this trade at this point for Dallas. Like it literally just makes, in hindsight, it didn't make sense at the time. And in hindsight, it still just really doesn't make sense. Like again, from a health aspect in a league where like you need talent to win. And you didn't really get that much talent back for Porzingis. Like, I feel like if you traded him to Toronto or something, like, yeah, maybe you would have had to give up a first or something, but you probably could have gotten back, like, a Pascal Siakam or something like that, and that would have been light years better than the return that you got for the Dinwiddie.
I don't think they would have been able to get an all-star back for KP. I just felt like they could have got a better player. Like, I just think, or they could have just kept him. And like I said on Twitter, like you could have got a guard. You wanted another ball handler. Like you could have got Dragic on a buyout to show up once every 5-6 games, and be that, you know, ball handler off the bench for you. And then you could have kept KP, and so that Dwight Powell isn't your starting center. I think that would be a better team than Dinwiddie and Bertans having to rely on them to be shooters for you in critical junctures. So but it's what they wanted to do.
Well, let's go ahead and get into this today. So we're gonna figure out a way for the Wizards to get the number 4 pick, So obviously, I think it goes without saying you're going to have to do a pick swap here. The Wizards don't have any asset to get number four besides trading Bradley Beal, you know, just for getting four on its own. And again, we've already gotten into it. They're not trading Beal. Even if they wanted to, they can't do that right now. It would have to be the Kings would make the pick for the Wizards. And then I think they'd be able to trade that pick once free agency started or that extension was agreed upon or whatever. But either way, I mean, Beal's not going to want to go to Sacramento. Beal has all the leverage in any team that he wants to go to. So for me, that conversation is a non-starter. But there are some guys that the Kings could use. You know, they could use a guy like KCP. However, I don't think that would be a needle mover in terms of moving up six picks. But Kyle Kuzma is a name that has come up several times for the Kings, and they've been interested in him before. So the conversation now turns to some sort of trade centered on four for 10 and Kuzma, and the rest of it you're just trying to fill in to make sure that it truly does work for both sides. So what do you feel about the base of that trade, you know, for 10 and Kuzma? Obviously, the Wizards are going to have to include a little bit more, but as a base trade, if the Kings are hell-bent on trading for a guy that can help them win, and given their interests before, and how he may fit with Fox and Sabonis, I mean, I think it makes sense from a basketball standpoint for both teams. Obviously, the Wizards will ideally get the better player at four. Who knows with the way we draft. And we get rid of Kuzma to let Rui have his shine, because that's Tommy's first draft pick that he ever made. So you would imagine that he wants him to play more than 22 minutes a game. So for the Wizards, it makes sense in that sense, too. You know, the Kings get a better player. The Wizards get to promote their first round pick back to the starting five, and you get a higher draft pick.
Yeah, I'm kind of trying to put my GM hat on for the Kings, like just looking at their roster and what they need. Like, obviously they're trying to build around De'Aaron Fox and Sabonis, who I think is for long term should be a center, and then Fox, your point guard. So you're looking at the weaknesses of their roster is kind of in the middle at the most important spots, in my opinion, the wings. So Kuzma fits that. I'm just kind of just is Kuzma worth the number four overall pick? Like, when I think number four overall pick, I'm looking at getting back a all-star level player. But this is the Kings we're talking about, and in the landscape of the league right now, that all-star player may not be available to want to go there. So it's like, how desperate are you, you know, to get that play? I think Kuzma and 10 definitely can start the conversation. But we would definitely have to add to that. And then we would probably have to take back some salaries that the Kings don't want on their books anymore. If we're doing a pick swap, 10 for 4, we're sending them Kuz. Yeah, I'm thinking we would have to take back some salaries that they want to get off the books to do that deal. And he would definitely slide in as their starting power forward. Sure. But I wonder what their plan is with like a Harrison Barnes, because I think Harrison Barnes, Kuzma are kind of similar, not in game, but just kind of like where they rank around the league. They just kind of do it a little differently. I think Kuzma is probably better defensively and as a playmaker rebounding. But I think Harrison Barnes is the more consistent shooter. So, yeah.
Barnes as a better defender than Kuzma.
You would?
Yes.
See, I don't know. Maybe slightly. I don't know. I'm not sure.
We'll ask Kevin. Kevin knows.
Yeah. I'm not sure. But, and then, like, would they fit together, or would the plan be, okay, we get Kuzma and then we move Harrison Barnes, because I think he's on the last year of his deal. So, yeah, I think it could be a conversation starter. I just wonder what the competition for that number four pick would be. Like I saw thrown out there the Pistons possibly offering Jeremy Grant. And, you know, would the Kings see Jeremy Grant as a better offer for the number four pick than Kuzma? Same position, power forward, you know, but it just depends on what they would value. I know they were fans of Kuzma before, which is why he was supposed to go in the trade, the Buddy Hield trade over there. So it's interesting. I guess for me, when I think of the number four pick going out in the trade, I'm thinking of, you know, getting a star player back.
Right.
But maybe they view Kuzma as a guy that can elevate to that level.
Hey, look, if Tommy sells the Kings on that run that he had in the middle of the season where he was putting up all-star numbers, you know?
They're shooting 11 on 60% true shooting.
Harrison Barnes was the name that I wanted to bring up because I think he's one of the more important names to consider when having this conversation. However, I doubt the Kings are that hell-bent on moving him just because, again, that he is expiring and those types of contracts are valuable for teams near the trade deadline. So if they aren't able to shift him now, maybe there's a chance at the deadline where a team is looking to get off a bad contract and the team and the Kings can take in some draft assets and then trade Harrison Barnes to that team who's looking to get off that salary. So something to consider there as well. The only other player on the roster that the Kings could shed for salary purposes is Rashawn Holmes. So let's shift the conversation for a second. Let's say we did, so the pick swap, obviously. Kuzma and Daniel Gafford for Rashawn Holmes. Would you consider that?
So Kuzma,
if you're the Kings.
So Kuzma, Gafford, number 10 for Rashawn Holmes and number 4.
Right. If you're the Kings,
that's one's tough because Kuzma obviously would be the starting four. I would assume you would put Harrison Barnes at the three. Gafford, I don't know where he would be a backup on that team. Cause I don't think you play him with Sabonis. That's a clunky fit. Although I saw Sabonis tweet out a picture of him working out with a lethal shooter. So maybe, you know, he's a 40% 3-point shooter on high volume this year and he just moves strictly over the power forward. Maybe that's the plan. I don't know. But I don't know that I do that. I don't know that I do that deal if I'm the Kings. I think I would want a little bit more.
So Gafford and Kuzma for Holmes and four is not doing it for you. So let's say I'm trying to think of the next time we can trade a first round pick. Is it 2026?
Because if I'm the Kings, I'm basically trying to sell to everybody in the league that this number four pick is an all-star level player. Mm-hmm. You just got to wait 3 or 4 years on it. And they just, I guess from their line of thinking, they don't have the 3 or 4 years to wait. So for a team making a trade, what would you be willing to offer for an all-star? And I think you got to kind of put that package together.
Also, when considering Kuzma, it's not necessarily a done deal that, like, you have Kuzma locked up because he's going to play for you this season on 13 mil. But after that, he's got a player option, and he's not going to accept that player.
Definitely going to opt out. He's definitely going to opt out of that for sure.
You pretty much would have to have the understanding before the trade is made that you would have an extension agreed upon. And this would actually, like, if Kuzma's about chasing the bag, like, this would be a really good situation for him, because the Kings have been known to pay money unnecessarily for guys. I mean, we can go back to that free. They paid Corey Joseph almost $13 million. Like, they paid Trevor Ariza, I think, well, in the double digits, that one free agency where they just spent money on. Like
16 mil a year, I think, for him. Yeah, after he was already washed.
Right.
So, for sure. Yeah, I think if I'm the Kings, just thinking of that number four pick, if you're looking at that number four pick as a Jaden Ivey or Shaedon Sharpe, like, you know, you're looking at those guys as potential all-star level players down the road. If that's what you feel like you're trading away, I would think you would want to give back more than Kyle Kuzma, the 10th pick, and then like a backup center. Maybe if you swapped out Gafford for Denny, maybe, or whoever they felt like had the most value between Denny, Rui, Kispert, because that to me is a position of more importance than center is right now. If you look at these playoffs, how many centers are actually impacting the game? It's really the wings that are really changing the game. So I would think they would want more of that, because that's where the true weakness on their roster is, the middle of their lineup.
So if you're the Kings, you would rather have the zero level scorer than a for sure like backup center at minimum?
If he's a multi positional defender on the wing, which is what they need, because they've been bad at defense for longer than the Wizards have. I think so. Yeah, I just think it. I think positionally it has more value. So I think the package would look more like Kuzma 10 plus Denny. For like a, you know, number four and Holmes coming back.
The only thing is, if we get Holmes, and like, where does he fit? Because we already have KP and Gafford. So I feel like if we get Holmes, and Holmes is a good player, by the way.
He's solid, but again, it's kind of back to that like positional value. Like, look at the type of players that are impacting the playoffs. They're not Rashawn Holmes. You know, they're wings. They're guys with, you know, switchability and shooting. And so for the Kings, they're just kind of like, here, this is just a salary throw in, but we're giving you the number four pick that we deem as a future all-star player. So we want your best stuff back. And I think our best stuff league-wide is, you know, Kuzma 10 and probably Denny, or even Kispert possibly.
So I put this together. So I feel like if the Kings weren't getting back a center in the trade, and in this case they're not, I feel like they would want to hang on to Rashawn Holmes. We can do a Rashawn Holmes center deal in a second, but let's do this. Let's say Harrison Barnes in the fourth pick for Kuzma, Denny, 10, and then a 2025 lottery protected pick. Would you take that if you're Sacramento?
I think I would do that one. I think that extra pick kind of throws it over the top for me. So you say Kuzma, Denny, 10 plus a future first round pick. I'd be a lottery protected.
Yep.
But yeah, so that I'm getting four assets for
one basically,
because I don't even think Harrison Barnes is in their future plans. How much is Harrison Barnes going to command in the open market after this season? Are the Kings going to pay that? I just don't.
Well, and I don't that see helps it. Us too, because that's money that we can get off the books if we find someone else who can help improve, because we're still that number four pick that we have coming back. The salary is still going to be kind of high, but it's not going to be like what we would be having to pay Kuzma and then Denny when he's up for extension.
Yeah, I think the Kings would do that. Unless, of course, some other team came swooping in and beat us out with another offer. that was better. Maybe they had a better player than Kuzma, or maybe they had a higher pick. Like, I'm not sure. I don't know what that who that team would be, but I think the Kings are going to have some options because
They are for sure.
If they are really putting that number four pick up for sale, I think they're going to be like I could see like the Hornets, right? Are the Hornets going to pay Miles Bridges, you know, $180 million on an extension? Like, could they, like, could they work out a sign and trade and he be the center of a package going to the Kings? I don't know. Like, could the...
That's someone you have to pay a lot more than what they're going to have to pay Kuzma.
That's true. That is true. Or the Hawks. Could the Hawks offer John Collins for the number four pick? I mentioned Detroit already with Jeremy Grant.
Where were the Kings slated pre-lottery? Were they nine?
I think they were slotted eighth.
As long as there's no team between 5 and 9 that's interested in trading up, and I mean, I don't know, Detroit, I feel like probably is a little disappointed that they fell, so maybe they could try and trade back up, but I mean, could they give up, like you said, could they give up Grant and then try and move up? But again, he's expiring, and is he going to re-sign in Sacramento? I mean, probably not. I mean, I think Jeremy Grant's the guy that'll play out this contract, and then he's going to try and go to get to like a Brooklyn. Maybe he goes back to Denver, you know, like a Lakers, maybe something like that, where he can try and win.
I'm just looking here. I'm trying to see other teams that may have packages they can put together for that number four pick. Would the Knicks offer Julius Randle?
Julius Randle's so bad, man.
He was bad this year.
I'd literally rather have Kuzma than Randle.
He was bad this year, for sure, but he was All-NBA the year prior.
6'10".
I don't know. Do the Kings think, you know, Randle and Sabonis is a powerhouse front court? I don't know.
Hey.
Again, it's the Kings we're talking about here.
The bricklayers between Randle, Sabonis, and him, like, or him, Sabonis, and Fox, like the bricklayers,
a lot of bricks.
It would be immaculate.
Yeah, that's really the only teams I could think of. Like, I'm looking here to see who could put something together. I'm thinking Detroit with Jeremy Grant, maybe the Pistons. I mean, not the Pistons. Maybe the Pacers with with something around Malcolm Brogdon. I don't know.
I don't know.
He's a vet.
I'd rather have Kuzma. That's why, like, we even for a Malcolm Brogdon trade for us, like, if we had to give up Kuzma, we probably say no to that.
Yeah, I think so too. I'm just thinking, like, Detroit and the Pacers.
San Antonio is going to let the board fall to them.
Yeah, Spurs not doing that. That's just not their style. And then like I said, Charlotte, could they make Miles Bridges available in a sign and trade type situation?
I don't think the Pelicans are either, because Herb Jones has played so well.
I think they like what they have. And now they got the eighth pick. And they can get a guy that could be a starter for them at that pick, and add to Zion Williamson coming back. So like, the Pelicans, they're good. They're good.
if you're Willie Green, and hopefully you got Zion coming back plus that pick, and now you got CJ who's already played a decent amount of games, and CJ looked legit in the playoffs, by the way, I would add.
Yes, that boy, nice.
They're gonna be a squad. They're gonna be a squad.
Yes. Yes, I totally agree. Got to see it in person. Love how that team is set up, man. Perfect type of role players around there. They guys, they just need buy-in from Zion.
And this is so when we talk about moving up to four, ideally, right, to get Jaden Ivey. I think that's the popular name that we would be moving up for. The Pelicans sort of adopted where they took the guy who has been a shooting guard for a long time and they moved into point, and then you see the results. Could we do the same thing with Beal? Will we move Beal more to that point guard? And we kind of touched on this the last episode, too, when you talked about bringing in Eric Gordon, and I know that we talked about that at the trade deadline last year. So could that be our sort of transitioning into that, where we have Ivy off ball, we move Beal to point, and we sort of take that approach? Is that a popular style? Because we've already seen the Jaden Ivy. People are sort of unsure of what his playmaking is going to be, especially coming out right away. So maybe that's sort of a seamless transition for Beal, where you can have another weapon to dish the ball to.
Yeah, my optimistic viewpoint of this year, if there was something to take out of it, I feel like there were some positive things to take out of Beal playing point guard. You know, it wasn't all bad. Like, he obviously struggled with it initially, but when he got into the groove of it, even with the lack of shooting here, he was an 8 assists to 3 turnover player. If he was able to do that for a season, you would definitely take that. And the league is kind of moving to, it's long been moving away from that traditional point guard, you know, facilitating every possession, you know, the Rajon Rondos, the, you know, Chris Pauls, Steve Nash. It's not, you know, Jason Kidd. It's not really that league anymore. You're looking at the Warriors, it's Draymond who's their point guard. And then he keeps four shooters around him. They just move, multiple ball handlers that can attack closeouts and shoot the ball. You know, is that the way for the Wizards? I would like to see them come into the 21st century as far as team building. You know, with as many, you know, versatile ball handling shooters as possible. And that would be a sign of that, especially if they're going to try to run that offense that Wes was running with, you know, KP out of the high post, right, and kind of facilitating stuff from there.
I was just going to say is that the main offense initiator, I mean, of course, Beal, but I mean, really, the offense is basically going to run through KP from what we've seen.
Yeah, yeah. And it worked. Like, their best offensive output this year was last year towards the back end of the stretch, running through KP, and then it was four shooters: Kispert, KCP, and
we'll forget, I'm forgetting. We don't have.
I don't know who I'm forgetting. That was the other shooter on the roster. Rui, shooting the ball, yeah, from three. So if that's the goal, then I don't really see the need for like a traditional high usage ball handler.
And so our conversation has kind of shifted now, where in the previous weeks we were talking, you know, they probably should go that more traditional low usage rate. And I still think they should get someone that's maybe a little bit more low usage, but, you know, maybe not try to so much find a traditional guy in terms of being an offense initiator, because we're already going to have those guys when healthy. But going back to this Sacramento-based deal, not to get too off-topic. So we already agreed that, okay, well, we did this from the Kings side. From the Wizards side, would you be comfortable with giving the Kuzma, Denny, and those two picks to move up, and plus taking back Harrison Barnes' deal?
Tommy, probably not. Because he just doesn't strike me as that type of a risk taker. Because you're really betting on the fourth player in the draft being a star, or you identifying whoever's available at that fourth spot is a guy that you're going to make a star, that you can sell to Bradley Beal as a running mate. In whatever capacity that is, as the second best player, the third best player, but whatever the role, a guy that is going to be impactful, not only as a rookie, but down the line as a potential all-star type talent, is Beal willing to wait on that? Or is that the Beal replacement? I'm not sure, but the Wizards need talent in the worst way, because I think even if in your most optimistic view of Beal and KP as number one and number two options, right, the roster from 3 through 10 needs improvement.
Sure.
Because when you stack it up against the other teams that are in these playoffs or you know, top four in the conference, it just doesn't hold up. And so, you know, if you're not going to have a Giannis or Luka or LeBron at the top of your roster to kind of fill in those gaps, well, then you got to win by having a deep roster of quality players and shooting, switchability, defense, which the Wizards do not have. So I think getting number four gives them the opportunity to get one of those type guys.
Well, I think going back to your point about Ivy, you know, would he be the Beal replacement? I think you could, if you're Tommy, the reason I would look at that as a favorable situation is because I think you can kind of, it can work for both scenarios. You know, he can either be insurance for Beal, or it can be, look, we wanted to move up to get a legit player because we're all in. And you know, Ivy's going to be able to score the ball right away. He may not be able to distribute, but the offense isn't going to run through him. I mean, he has two guys ahead of him that are going to need the ball. And if Rui goes back to the starting five in this scenario, well, we already saw that Rui was a bucket his first 2 years in the league. And obviously this past year happened and it was kind of a mess and it is what it is. But Rui's a bucket getter too, so he's going to need the ball as well. So there's not going to be as much pressure on Ivy at the same time. I mean, I think he does give you that all-star potential that could warrant you trading up. And again, it favors you both sides. You know, either it can be a guy that you can put next to Beal long-term who can help take some pressure off in the offense, you know, or it can be his replacement, you know. I think it works better.
I do wonder how Beal would view that type of move. If Tommy was to do it, would he view that as a win now move? Because I feel like most veterans think rookies aren't that good. Like if you're telling me that the win now move is to add a 19 or 20 year old, no matter where you're picking him, that's not a move that says, oh, we're trying to win right now. That's a move that says we're trying to win 2 or 3 years from now or 4 years from now when this player is fully developed and entering their prime. And I don't know that, like, would Beal be more interested in trading up for the number four pick or trading the number 10 pick for a vet? I feel like he would be more interested in the latter.
What type of tier player do you think you can get for that?
With the number 10 pick?
Yeah.
I have no idea. It depends on how the board falls. Like, what if Keegan Murray drops to 10? Okay. Do you take Keegan Murray, or do you try to trade it for another, I don't know.
I would have to know who that vet is to answer that question.
Yeah. Like,
would we get Andrew Wiggins for that? Like, that's a different conversation. You know, if it's like Evan Fournier or something, like no. You know, I just
would. That's kind of like the tier player I'm thinking of, though, like a Andrew Wiggins or like a. I don't even know who would be available from that tier of player.
Because everyone that's good is under contract that, like, teams want to keep, you know?
Right. So you're kind of looking at that middle tier of player like that. Would you trade the 10th pick for a bona fide fourth option?
Who are the three options in this scenario? KP, Beal, and Kuzma?
Well, the three options would be, yeah, Beal, KP, and Kuzma are your top three options. So then you would say, all right, well, we're trading a number four pick for I mean, we're trading a 10th pick for a legitimate fourth option starter, either at point guard or at small forward.
So, like, Brogdon?
So, like, Brogdon, Mike Conley.
Do you think the Spurs would entertain giving us Murray for 10?
Hell no.
Yeah, I don't think so
either. Hell no.
Although, well, the Spurs could then package 9 and 10 to try and move up, but they could trade with Sacramento to get 4. Maybe one of the big men falls, and then they can get one of the, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of other wing players that would fit that description, like that Malcolm Brogdon, Mike Conley tier. Wiggins would be one, even though he makes like $30 million.
That's the thing is, like, even if we were to get if the Thunder wanted to give a Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, that's a name that's popped up for us too. Like, he just makes too much money, man. Like, we would be well over the luxury tax.
Yeah, and I don't see Ted doing that. I would have to go to the drawing board on that. I just feel like, just from Beal's thinking, some of the comments he's made, like, I don't know that trading up to 4 is what for him would be. Oh, this is the win now move Tommy is making. I feel like him trading the 10th pick for a vet would solidify more of win now thinking.
Well, look at it like this. Like, we already said that Harrison. Well, you think that Harrison Barnes or Kyle Kuzma are like the same tier player, right?
Yeah, I do.
So consider that. Then consider who would you rather have, Jaden Ivey or Denny Avdija?
Definitely Jaden Ivey.
So in that sense, it is helping you win more than it would be to keep those two guys. You know what I mean?
That's true. I see what you're saying. Where it's like, it's kind of like, would you rather have Kuzma and Denny, or would you rather have the number 4 pick, Jaden Ivey and Harrison Barnes.
Right, and I would pick Barnes and Ivey.
Yeah, I see what you're saying there. I see what you're saying.
Does that number?
That is an upgrade. I just don't know how much. Like, how much does that upgrade you for 2023?
Right.
Because rookies are never really impactful. Like, you know, even the best ones, like a Cade Cunningham, like how many wins did he help Detroit get? 1, maybe?
Well,
2?
Cade Cunningham was not this all-star, like, do-it-all type guy that people were making him out to be. I never saw, like, the legit shot-creating ability, at least from day one. Like, I thought he looked a little slow. So I didn't think that he was going to have that type of ability right away. And we already saw some guys were talking about Cade Cunningham had a down year. And I don't think that's necessarily true. I just, people probably over, like Lonzo
Ball. He was billed as like being like a Luka, like, and he's not that.
Right. He'll
be good
Ball.
Though. He'll be good. He'll be really good. He's just not. I don't know that he's like transcendent. So, you know, and that's kind of the thing, like. I don't know that Jaden Ivey is going to be transcendent. So is he really helping you this year? And so if you're Beal, you're looking at that. If they made that deal, it's kind of like, okay, well, what are y'all building for? Are y'all trying to win now or are y'all trying to win in 2025? And at that point, I'm going to be 31, 30, 32. Like, you know, I don't know.
But see, but, people, like, looking at it from Denny, because again, if we're already saying that Barnes and Kuzma's a wash, so you're essentially looking at it as Denny in the 10th pick versus Jaden Ivey. Like, which one do you think is going to help you more now and long term? And I think the answer is probably Jaden Ivey, because Denny is a zero level scorer, plays defense. He plays defense a lot of the time, but there are some times where he just signed it, sort of blends in. And again, we already said our 10th pick, like our 10th pick this year isn't helping us if number 4 isn't going to help us. So it's like,
but that's kind of my point too. Like, okay, if you're Beal, do you think Beal would rather trade Denny and 10 for number 4 Or would he rather trade Denny and 10 for Andrew Wiggins?
Well, I think that answer is pretty clear. I don't know if Golden State's itching to do that, man.
I'm just hypothetically just spitballing, but
yeah, I know.
You know, as far as like ready now, like we're trying to win, like the move Tommy can make to tell Beal, hey, we're trying to win right now this year and next year, is trading 10 and Denny for the number 4 pick. Is that evidence of that?
Well, you know, I would rather, like, so the pro rebuild guy in me would say trade up, but I think it is more likely that where the Wizards are, that they would be more willing to trade 10 and whatever to get a serious piece back. So I'm with you on that. I just don't know who that player is. Like, I would need to know who that is before that happens, or else to me it's kind of like, I'm not sure. Because if it's Malcolm, like, would we trade the 10th pick for Malcolm Brogdon? Like, that's a big risk right there. That's a big risk.
I wouldn't do that. But would you do it for Mike Conley?
Still no, because he's, like, what, going to be 35 next year?
He is going to be 35, but he was good this year.
He did play
70 games. He played 70 games. He did get hurt, but he played 70 games.
He's another guy, though, that history, he's injury prone, man.
Yeah. I think they're in a tough spot, man. I don't know what talent is, like, available to be had that's worth it for the 10th pick. I really don't. Like, there isn't, like, a... You know, if a Mikal Bridges type player was available for trade, I would be offering up the 10th pick, Denny, Kispert, whatever they wanted to get that type of player. But I just don't know that player is available. And the point guards that are available are like old and have injury questions.
And it would be so Wizards for us to make that move, man. Let me see if I can try and think of any veteran players real quick on another team. I don't know. Just the pickings are kind of slim. I don't know. Would Portland want to give us Damian Lillard? I don't know, man. I can't see any others on any of these rosters. I don't see anyone else. I mean, unless like the Wizards were like, give us Derrick Rose from New York.
Did you trade the 10th pick for Eric Gordon?
No.
You would not. Okay.
Well, if the Rockets gave us something else, maybe, but based off, like, here, let me look at it real quick. Reset. Let me put the Rockets on here. And then we'll wrap this up. I know you got another show to get on here. Eric Gordon, and then so what salary are we sending out in that situation?
It'd be KCP.
Oof, really?
And again, that's another one that's kind of tricky, because if I'm Beal, I want KCP here.
Right. I'd rather trade Kuzma.
So I'm not sure. Would you trade the 10th pick for Rozier?
Yes.
Okay. Because I'm like that. Like, that's the quality of player. That's the tier of player I think you could get for the 10th pick if you could find a way to make the salaries going out match. Well, the Cavs just got Caris LeVert. I'm thinking like, would you do Bojan Bogdanovic? No.
Because he's going to be what, like, I think 33 himself? He's going to be up there too.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of the tier player.
Let's circle back to the Mike Conley deal real quick. Let's say we took back Mike Conley and Royce O'Neal, and we gave them 10, and let's see. The thing is, what salary are we sending out? I mean, I guess... because from the Jazz perspective, like, who would they get back from our roster? Like KCP would help them. So I guess maybe you could say KCP.
They would definitely want KCP. For sure.
So it would be, because that's a tough thing, is we would have to make this. And I'm not sure how these trade exceptions were, because for those that we don't know, we got on the, but before we got on the pod here, we were looking, and it looks like the Wizards have two trade exceptions worth about a little over $9 million. So I'm just not exactly sure how those can get applied, because it's a, there's two types of trade exceptions apparently, and they only work for certain scenarios. So I'm not exactly sure how that works. But let's see. So let's say we get Mike Conley. Oh, you wouldn't want Jordan Clarkson, right?
Wouldn't mind him as a six man. Hell yeah. Give me as many guards that can dribble and shoot as possible. Yeah, I'll take them.
So Mike Conley and Royce O'Neal combined would be about $31 million, or almost $32 million. So our, I don't really see how our salary is going to – I mean, it would have to be like – both trade exceptions would have to be applied, and I have a feeling that they wouldn't be able to be applied. But we're essentially doing – like what, Rui and KCP for Royce O'Neal, Mike Conley, and then you hope our trade exceptions can get applied, I guess.
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah, like you're taking back more salary into that trade exception, but you're getting veteran proven talent that you know can shoot the ball, space the floor, play a little bit. A little bit of defense in the case of Royce O'Neal. I think that's a move that I feel like Beal would be more in favor of than number four pick for, you know, mystery box.
So Royce O'Neal has, let me see. So Royce O'Neal's contract is guaranteed for this year. And then for the season after, he has a 9.5 mil, but it's a partially guaranteed. It's a 2.5 guaranteed. So if the Wizards didn't want to keep him, they could cut ties and save $7 million. Before, so going back to the Kings trade here real quick, is there, we already talked about the base of the trade that we thinks that we think the Kings would take. Is there another deal that you're thinking of where we could get both teams to agree, or do you, and like, again, from the Wizards perspective, I don't care what Tommy thinks. I'm just asking, what do you think? Like, do you think that you would do Harrison Barnes and four, and then for Kuzma, Denny, and the 10 and a future first?
Do I think the Wizards would do that, or the Kings?
For you, do you think that Wizards, like, from the Wizards' perspective, would you do it? Like, not would Tommy do it?
I would do it, but I wouldn't do it with the inclination that it's a win now move. I don't necessarily believe it's that. I think it's a maybe win now, but more than anything, it's a Bradley Beal insurance. Like, we're moving. He might can help us win now, but if he doesn't, we still got to possible star talent in the event that we move on from Bradley Beal.
Gotcha. Well, I think that's a lot of good talk today, and that's sort of where we'll leave it. So the deal that we have agreed upon was Harrison Barnes and four for Kuzma, Denny, 10, and then a future lottery protected first round pick. So, again, there's a lot of context to where it may not make sense for the Wizards, and heck, you know, maybe not even necessarily for the Kings. So there isn't one right answer for this, but it's going to be something that's going to be talked about a lot more, especially as the draft gets closer. But thank you guys for listening to this episode today. Make sure to rate us 5 stars, subscribe to the show, leave any comments or concerns. DMs are always open, and we'll see you next time.